you know, you came in on the day that you were meant to come in. So the date of birth, date you come in, you can't change that. You came in on that specific day, and that the number that you get from that is a reflection of that exact moment that you came into this experience to have this experience. And the name you were given at birth reflects that also, right?
So your soul basically chose to come here at that time and was exactly. going to take that name.
Yeah,
that is mind-blowing. Hello, welcome to Soul Awakenings with Madhya Sosan Podcast. Today we have Bradley Westcott. Now, Bradley is an international speaker, mentor, and all-around artist of heart. Having embarked on his own healing journey following a lifelong struggle with emotional disconnect, dysfunctional relating, and self-sabotage, Bradley is now called to hold space for others to use their adversities as a path to their own self-discovery. As a way-shower for a new feminine paradigm, Bradley's work focuses on his understanding that there is nothing within us that needs fixing. As a mentor, he invites individuals into empowered, sovereign journeys of deep soul remembrance. His gift for intuitive space holding and numerology serve as containers for total illumination and true inner alchemy. Whilst specializing in areas of relationship, addiction, and conscious artistry, his greatest gift is his ability to ignite and activate deeper levels of soul expression and purpose. Let's bring him on. Hi, Bradley. How are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. Thanks. How's it going?
Yeah, not too bad. I know you moved. You're on your travels at the moment, aren't you? Where are you?
Yeah, I'm currently I'm staying in South Africa in Johannesburg with my girlfriend and my little boy. We're staying with a couple of friends who are like incredible space holders, artists, healers. And we're kind of here on a working training residency. We're training as visual storytellers, kind of marrying visual art with our music. And we received Arts Council funding at the end of last year to come and do this, and so we took the plunge, even though with the noise of the pandemic and whatever, we just kind of listened to our heart and tuned in. It was like, yes, that's what we're doing. So
yeah
we're kind of on a bit of an adventure, and just like, yeah, it's pretty magical.
Yeah, well, you know, you gotta be like, you gotta listen to your intuition and it's the strongest point, right? Yeah, so to start off with, Bradley, tell us a bit about yourself, a brief overview for our listeners.
Where to start? Okay, myself, I'm kind of just a guy who has been on a big healing journey. That's how I see myself as a healer. You know, I've been on a... Yeah, it's been a quite a long journey to overcome a lot of the kind of early adversity that I had in my life, and the way that I was kind of showing up in my life that really wasn't working for me, and coming to realize that, you know, the problems in my life stemmed from myself. It wasn't anyone outside of me, it wasn't anyone doing anything to me, I wasn't a victim, and actually I was creating my own experience. And from that point, really taking myself on and taking on my sense of who I am and my beliefs about myself and the world, and along the way sort of shifting a lot, changing a lot how I feel and think about the world and myself, and coming to be someone who's actually really genuinely free in life, you know, like free to express, free to speak, free to go wherever I want inside of any situation. Like, I'm living a really, really free experience now. And that's very, very alive and very beautiful and uplifting and full of connection and love. And that's not always been the case. You know, that's not where I came from.
Yeah. And, so, you're talking about, going through adversity. So what kind of, let's start off with your childhood. What was your childhood like?
My childhood was challenging. It's fair to say. I was born into a house that was full of conflict and violence and real difficult, dense feelings of anger and shame and a lot of unhappiness. Of course, within that, there was times of real happiness and joy, and my parents had a really love-hate relationship, and when it was lovely, it was really lovely, and when it was not good, it was really full-on and unsafe and dangerous. And I kind of had that feeling of life that I didn't know whether I was going to wake up one day and it'd be a good day, and then the next day and it'd be like a really horrifically bad day, and I just had that kind of inbuilt anxiety and distrust of life and uncertainty. And within that world, there was a lot of suppression of emotions through substances. Drugs were quite prevalent in my upbringing. And as I got a little bit older, things kind of improved once my parents split up, but things took a turn for the worst. I had a brother, an older brother, who committed suicide, and I lived in a world of, I actually went to like really good schools. I went to private schools, but I lived in poverty. So all my friends were millionaires, and I would be going home to not being able to, my dad not being able to feed us. And there was such polarity in my experience, and as a result of really questioning my own place in the world and my own sense of worth, being around millionaires and then not having anything, and learning how to have to shield and hide who I really was, because I didn't want to have to be with the discomfort of people seeing me, seeing what was going on at home, seeing what was going on in my life, seeing the conflict, seeing all of that kind of stuff. And I put on this, my winning formula in life has always been to be quite bright and happy and bubbly on the outside, but inside I was covering up and hiding a load of really dense, difficult experiences that I wouldn't allow anyone to see. I wouldn't be vulnerable enough to allow myself to be seen. And I kind of grew up learning how to be a chameleon and to have different parts of me that I would show to different people. And, I was able to get on with anyone really, because I was able to mold, but to these situations, but I really didn't know who I was. I wouldn't allow myself to be who I really was. I was caged in to an experience of being for everyone else rather than being for myself. And, and as a result, I wasn't really living. I was living based upon other people's opinions and expectations rather than what I really felt for myself. And that was just such a difficult, dense place. And I quickly fell in my early teens, into drug abuse, using drugs with my friends, turned into using drugs at home in my, life went a bit crazy for a while.
Yeah.
Really crazy. And
I know like a lot of people have gone through adversity, even people who haven't, it seems like emotions is the hardest thing to feel. You could go to a gym or you can work on your strength. You endure that pain because you know it's good for you. But when it comes to emotional pain, people run away from it. It's like, you're going to go to the gym. You're going to work on your muscles. You're going to strengthen those muscles. You're going to endure pain. Yeah, that's fine. But the emotional pain, you can't go through it because you.
Yeah. Well, it is a funny thing in life that we... that we train ourselves, we sharpen the tools of our mind, we read books, and we go to school and we study and we learn how to be, to use our mind in incredible ways. And we there are people going to the gym and training the body and getting fit and getting healthy and doing crazy things in life. And that's really encouraged in mainstream culture, right? Mm. And yet, like, to understand the emotional body, to understand how we're feeling, to process our experience is something that, until quite recently, was heavily shamed. There's still stigma around that kind of work, but it's certainly not mainstream. It's becoming more mainstream. It's interesting, and yet it is a reflection of the general state of our of this reality in our and the sort of the balance of the masculine and feminine that we experience in this particular paradigm right now. And I could talk to you a little bit about the numerology of that as well, you know. But we'll go. I'm sure that will come up. I know that you wanted to speak a little bit about numerology, and we spoke before about sort of the masculine and feminine and the dance between those two energies.
So like, well, I'm going into numerology now. So, what is numerology, and how does it work then?
Numerology is. It's a study of numbers, basically. It's a study of numbers and their significance, their meaning, their what they symbolize inside of our experience. Like, different numbers have different qualities, they have a different vibration, and based upon each number we can determine a different set of characteristics. And so you know, for example, I can look at any number, but if we were looking at a human being, I could look at their name, and based upon their name, I could decipher a set of numbers which would tell me a lot about that human being. Or I could take their date of birth, and that would give me another different set of numbers that would indicate different traits and different characteristics that person would carry. Mm-hmm. And people are often surprised when they give me their date of birth and they give me their name, that I'm able to, based upon that, tune into them and tell them a lot about themselves.
Mm. So what is your number, so like soul path number, or
my life path number? As there's different names for the same thing. I think of it as life path. I'm a two, or depends how you do it, right? There's there's different schools of thought always in life, right, about how you add the numbers up. Mm. I've always considered myself a 20/2, which is what you are. If you other schools of thought would consider me an 11/2. So basically, life path, right? The way I think about life path number is that first of all, in order to attain a life path number, what we do is we add up the numbers from the date of birth. So I'm a 17th of June 1986. In order to get to the 20/2, I would add up 17. So I'd add up the 1 + 7, which would give me 8. And I'd leave that 8 there. And then I'd look at the month, which is June, which is 6. So I've got 8, 6, and then I'd add up 1986. So we'd add up the 1 + 9 + 8 + 6. So 1 + 9 = 10, + 8 = 18, + 6 = 24, right? 24, 2 + 4 = 6. So then I've got the 8, 6, 6, right? Does that make sense?
It's just going out my head.
Yeah. It's fairly confusing.
Yeah.
But it is quite simple.
Yeah.
Basically, you add up the number of the date separately. You add the number of the month separately, and then you add up the number of the year separately, and then you add them together.
Right.
Okay. So rather than adding straight across, you add up the individual
numbers.
So 17, I'd add the 1 and the 7 for my date of birth. 17th of June, 1 and the 7 = 8. Right?
Right, okay.
And then I'd leave that 8 there. 6 is just a number by itself because it's June. And then 1986 is 1 + 9 + 8 + 6, which 1 + 9 = 10, + 8 = 18, + 6 = 24. And then I'd add the 2 and the 4 together to get 6.
So do you do that with the... Sorry, you were going to say something.
Yeah, so then I add all those numbers up, and I add 6. So 8, 1 + 7 = 8. I'd add 8 to the 6th of June, which is 14. And then 1986 is a 6-year. So I add the 14 to the 6, which gives me 20. And then 20 is a 2. How I work out. It's not as straight as adding straight across. You can do. There's a different school of thought which would add straight across. It gives you a different number.
Right, okay.
It gives you the same root number, but it gives you a different larger number. The larger number is important too.
Right. Do you add the? Oh, sorry, I keep cutting you off.
That's okay.
Because there's like questions about this. So, do you add like the names, your letters as well? Then.
Yeah, you can do. They give you a different set of numbers. So, I know we kind of discussed a little bit before about expression, heart's desire, personality number, and birthday number, for example, which are the kind of the core numbers. The life path number, expression, heart's the expression, heart's desire, and personality number, they all come from the name that you were given at birth. With numerology, we always go with the name that was given at birth, that's on the birth certificate, right? Because it's like, you know, you came in on the day that you were meant to come in, so the date of birth, date you come in, you can't change that. You came in on that specific day, and that the number that you get from that is a reflection of that exact moment that you came into this experience to have this experience. And the name you were given at birth reflects that also, right?
So your soul basically chose to come here at that time and was going to take that name.
Yeah,
that is mind blowing.
Yeah,
that is
like the soul. It's just basically an imprint of the soul, the moment that the soul chose to come in, and the blueprint that soul has, the soul blueprint that it's come in with and what it's come to experience. So with the life path number, life path number, I always think of it as like, it is the major life lessons. It's the major challenges that you have come to experience in this lifetime. And every single person, place, and thing that you experience has come to teach you about a particular vibration. So for myself, it's the number 22. 20/2, not 22. 20/2. I'm a light path two. Okay.
Oh,
yeah.
Amazing.
It's the same as you, my dear. You are also a 20/2. You're a life path two, if you want to just, you know, break it down to sort of,
yeah,
you know, easy to understand. And I think I can tell a lot about you based upon that. And it'll be very similar to myself, you know, the experiences we had growing up, the challenges that we have in life, the lessons that we're here to experience are going to be very, very similar.
Yeah. So, you know, to explain it to the listeners, can you do a quick reading on me? So they know what you're talking about.
I mean, just going on life path number. So your date of birth is the 13th of August, 1988, right? Okay. So I'd add up the 13, which comes to 1 + 3 = 4. August is 8. And then 1988, I can tell you 1988 was an 8 year. So if I add up 1988, I get 8. So then I get 4 + 8 + 8. Right, 8 + 8 = 16 + 4 = 20. So you're exactly the same as me. You're 20, which you can break down to a 2, because 2 + 0 = 2. From that, I know that you had, you're basically, as a 2, you're here as an amazing space holder, right? You are here as a diplomat. You're very diplomatic. You're a peacekeeper, right? And in order to attain those skills, you had to have had a certain experience as a child, and that would have been to understand, because you're here to create peace in the world, to understand peace, you had to see and understand conflict, and you would have had a difficult childhood as a result. There would have been a lot of very, very difficult experiences, a lot of conflict inside of your reality with your parents, with what you experienced growing up. It wasn't easy. It was a tough time, basically. Emotionally, very, very challenging. You are, by nature, you are a very, very, very sensitive child. You are sensitive still, right? But as a child, you were just a sponge, right? And you absorbed it on an emotional level. 2 is a deeply, deeply feminine number, right? And it is all about the emotional world. 2s are empaths. 2s walk into a room, you walk into a room, Madia, and you feel everything that's going on. You feel what people are feeling. You can walk into a room and tell what's going on based upon how everyone feels to you, right? And It's a gift and it's a curse. So when you're a very sensitive child growing up in a very difficult, dense, emotionally dense situation with lots of conflict, lots of unhappy feelings floating around, it's a lot to absorb. It's a lot to take in. And that would have been your experience, right? And as a two, because you felt it so strong, right? It was like, no, this is too much. And twos will naturally cut off from their feeling, right? It's too difficult to feel all of that density. So they're like, right, okay. So twos as a child, it's like, right, I'm gonna stop. I can't feel this. It's too painful. I'm gonna come out. I'm gonna live up here where it's safe. And I'm going to go out into the world and I'm going to take care of other people's emotions, because if I can sort that out here, then if they're okay, if what's going out in the real world around my parents, around people is okay, then I'll be okay. So you become the emotional facilitator of other people. You take care of other people's feelings. And you disown your own. It's a two's journey to learn to feel the feelings again, right? But in order to do that, first there has to be that disconnect from the emotions. And the journey of a two is to learn to feel. Like that's a journey of all human beings, right? But more so of a two, because it's, you know, it's just the nature of a two, right? And yeah, a two will get lost in other people. A two will not really know who they are. It's like, if you listen to what I said when I came onto the show, right? Like I said, very soon, I didn't know who I was. I was all for other people. I became very much, you know, being able to mold myself into what other people wanted me to be, because that is being part of a peacekeeper. It's like, I don't want to feel the shit that I've got inside of me, so I'm going to make you feel okay. And how I make you feel okay is by molding myself into whatever shape makes you feel the most comfortable. And Madia, that would have been your journey too, I'm sensing, right?
It was, it yeah. was. And it was. A, yeah, bang on. Like I had a really adverse childhood. So yeah, I became the carer for my mom as well. So as well as losing my dad and then, you know, becoming a carer. So I was looking after her for 15 years and that was... And I did disconnect from my emotions, you know, completely suppress them and not even feeling them. You are absolutely right. And then until I had my spiritual awakening, that's when all the floodgates open of the emotion to feel that fully. And that's my journey now, like, you know, from suppressing to opening up to my feelings and emotion, expressing them, learning how to express them.
Yeah. Interesting, like the thing around twos, I had the similar thing of becoming a carer, right? Mm. But two is the number of relationship, right? And it's how we relate to other people. And it's a big part of your experience here, a big challenge that you've come to experience is relating. And becoming a rescuer is a very two thing, right? Yeah. It's very two, because, you know, we're growing up inside of that paradigm of codependency. And part of learning to relate healthily is learning how to step out of that, that drama triangle of, you know, victim, rescuer, perpetrator, right? And the programming of being a rescuer, being a carer as a child, naturally wanting to make everything okay for someone else, putting their needs above your own, is classic codependency. And like a big journey of yours is going to be in relationship and learning how to step outside of that, because ultimately, although, you know, it's a lovely thing to take care of other people, especially when we get into relationships going forward with romantic partners, it's like by being a rescuer, we end up attracting people who overtake, and it's not their fault. It's actually we disempower them by overgiving. Right. We need to take responsibility for that, and it's just a programming. And it's like, I need to go and give love to that little child who felt that their needs and their feelings and their experience was less important than the person they were caring for, which is common. That was my experience too.
Yeah, it's making so much sense. So from what you explained, it's like absolutely bang on about from my childhood, the adversity. And then I had my sort of awakening, which kind of just, you know, universe way of saying, I'm going to kick you in this direction. It's time for you to be kicked at this direction. And then like starting to feel my feelings and emotion. And now I have boundaries, which I didn't have before. You know, I it took me years and years to get to this place, even in romantic relationship or even in a friendship. So boundaries are important. You know, I'm not that person. I will take care of you, but only to a point where if it's like 50-50, I'm not doing it to like 100% and you doing nothing, you know, sort of thing.
Exactly. Perfect. I mean, it's a journey, right? It's like we, you know, I feel like, you know, I do well sometimes. And then at times I kind of like, oh, hang on, I'm doing that thing again where I'm taking responsibility for everyone. And I do it in a subtle way. It's not like you might not even catch it on the external. It's like I can feel it. And there's an energy where I'll feel like slightly anxious because someone else is unhappy. And it'll be like, oh, hang on, I'm making myself to blame and responsible for what they're going through. My gift, a gift of a two, right? And you're the same, is space holding, right? But it's only once you're able to facilitate yourself and bring harmony to those. So my partner Abby, like, say she's going through something and she's unhappy, and it reminds me of my childhood, right? And that unhappiness that I experienced. And it's like, as a child, it was like my obvious reaction to the unhappiness was, oh, it's something to do with me. Because you don't have the awareness as a child to make rational decisions away from that, right? So it's like, okay, Abby's unhappy now. I get triggered from, you know, stuff still unprocessed from my childhood. And it's like, okay, oh shit, like she's unhappy, I need to do something. Right.
It's,
and it's subtle. It's just subtle. It's like I've done a lot of work, right? And I, you know, but it's subtle. It's like, oh, and then I am making the entire her emotions about me. I'm making the entire situation about me. Therefore, I'm not allowing her process. Okay. She then gets stuck inside of the unhappiness because she can't process it, because I'm not holding space for that. I've made it all about me. And by trying to rescue or trying to do something to change how she feels, I actually block the whole process. And therefore we get into conflict. She starts to project at me, I start to react to her, when all actually I needed to do in the first place was go into myself, hold myself, give myself sort of, what did my child need? Reassurance, love, belief, some understanding of what's going on. Okay, fill myself up with that light, fill myself up with that understanding, fill myself up with that love, give myself what was missing. Okay, now from a space of I've given myself what I needed, I can hold space, allow her to process, and then harmony's restored, right? Energetically.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, that is the one thing that I did when I was going through it. I completely disconnected from everything else and connected with myself. So I would sit in a room every single day. I would ask myself two questions. How are you feeling today? Are you okay? So that's what I was doing for 2 years on, and a lot of trash came up because I wasn't, the external thing that I was doing, it was taken away. So sitting with yourself and solitude, I feel like it's really important for us. Really, really important. You know, you need, like you said, you need to kind of just declutter everything and then come back to yourself and, you know, go out in the world again and then declutter again. It's almost like declutter, align, and go out. It's basically that. So, you know, You did a reading on me before when we had a pre-chat as well. So, you said this year is going to be an important year for me.
It is going to be an important year for you. You're a sun number three. Okay, I get that from adding the 13 of the day you were born to the 8th of August. So 1 + 3 = 4 + 8 = 12. 1 + 2 = 3. Okay, so sum number three, we're in a collective year 5, okay, which is 2021, 2 + 2 + 1 = 5, okay, which means a lot to me. And adding the 3 gives me 8, which So your three sun number plus the collective year five gives a total of eight, right? Mm. This gives you a personal year, your own personal year, your experience, the vibration you're journeying this year is at eight. That's a big year. Okay. It's a very, very, very powerful year in the physical plane. Eight is the number of the material world. It's the number of business, finance, money, career, personal power. Okay.
Wow.
And this year, I probably, when we spoke at the end of last year, you were in a 7 year, and I was probably saying this year's been quite challenging.
It was. It certainly was.
There was a lot of like, who am I? Where am I going? How is this working? Trying to set, there's a sense of like, you're trying to get something off the ground in seven, right? And it's like, you're not quite sure. All the details haven't quite landed, and you're in a very internal, introspective year of figuring out how it works, where you stand inside of getting this thing to work, right? And there's a lot of trial and error, and there's a lot of kind of failure, but it's your process of working out. And then I reckon in December there would have been a little something, some new information would have come in, something would have landed, right? Mm-hmm. Inside that 7 year, there's like, there's a new beginning in that happens, right? And that last month of a 7 year, and I remember it happening for me too. And it's like, oh, okay, and the path opens and a new direction. And this year it was, and I probably told you when we spoke that it's really important for you to be really clear and sure about what you want. Mm. Really sure, like, yeah, very detailed about what you want this year.
Oh,
because in the 8 year,
yeah,
you get what you want. Mm. Mm. You're gonna get it this year. You're gonna make it. It's gonna happen. You're gonna make it happen.
Yeah.
Might not look exactly as you thought it would look.
Yeah.
Right. Because we don't have control. I know from you also being a life path too, is that you don't, whenever you try and push forward and move ahead and really force things to happen, life goes, no.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's so true.
Cause you're like, twos don't create through going and making things happen. Twos create, it's a feminine number. Feminine is all about
attracting
and magnetism. Mm.
Yeah.
It's similar with the life path six, right? But life path twos, definitely 100%, you are here to draw to you through magnetism. All the best things that happen to you in your life will come to you that way.
Yeah, that is so true.
This year you will magnetize, right? Mm. You will. I got a lot in my 8 year. That was 2 years ago now. I'm in a 1 year. 2 years ago, I wanted to become a coach, actually. I was working my business in my 7 year and it just wasn't happening. And I really was. And then I had a bit of a breakthrough at the end of the year in terms of direction. And then TEDx talk, which is where I met you, right?
Yeah.
Came in at the beginning. I did a TED talk. I became a father. I healed a autoimmune disease that I'd had for 3 years through the emotional work that I was doing. And I almost given up, right? I was like, something didn't click. I had a really tough year financially that year, because eight will teach you all about money. And I did have a big level up, a big shift in my money that year. But it was quite hard going. It was quite painful at times. I had to feel some stuff that I hadn't wanted to feel, basically, as a two. It's always the way. And then right at the end of the year, when I'd almost given up and thought, you know what, this numerology thing's a load of rubbish, I had a little shift in how I was thinking about it. Put an offering out, and then loads of people came back, and I got what I wanted.
Really?
Right in the December of the 8 year, yeah.
Yeah, that is amazing.
right at the 11th hour. Like,
what I
happened.
Want to know is, whenever I get a reading, like not a psychic reading or things, everything seems to happen in December. She always picks up December for some reason.
Right.
And it's really, I can't figure it out, because like November, December's always been big for me anytime. Yeah. So like, speaking of like soul numbers, can you, now we know a bit about number two, as you just done a reading on me. Can you briefly tell us about other numbers, maybe 1 to 11, perhaps, if you know some of them?
Okay, yeah. I mean, okay, so like one is about the self, right? It's a masculine number. It is the me, the ego. But, you know, each number's got light and dark, right? Because One is a beautiful number, right? It is new beginnings. It is individuality. It is leadership in like, I'm going to walk that path first. It's the pioneers, right? It's the inventors. It's very creative. It's a really cool number. And yet also it can be like narcissism. It can be like me first. I'm the most important. Like, everything is about me. And like, as I said, each number will have a shadow. We've kind of been through two being the feminine number of surrender, patience, diplomacy, emotions, softness, and you know, within the two also it can be like overly identified with the emotions and getting washed away and pulled about inside of inside how you're feeling. It can be like codependency, right? It's like you're more important than me. Because it is a number of relationship. Okay. Yeah. Three is creativity. It's a number of expression, right? It's about creativity. It's about communication. Threes, people with life path three, for example, will normally be very talented in at least one or two, three of the arts, you know, mm-hmm. writing, speaking, acting, music, etc., singing. You know, it's the number of the voice. It's quite frequently, life path threes will normally have quite an unusual voice, very distinctive. And it's the number of learning how to communicate, as in like learning to listen, learning to respond. Three is quite an optimistic number. It's also the number of beauty and kind of innocence in a way, mm-hmm. right? Threes will often have a hard time, will be on a journey to learn how to really communicate what they mean, right? Mm-hmm. Because threes will want to sort of make everyone feel okay by saying the right thing.
Mm. Is it a bit like two as well then, crossed between two? Because twos are a bit like that as well, aren't they? So
yeah, I mean, twos are like, oh, I'm just going to be whoever you want, and threes will be like, oh no, I'm just going to make everyone feel okay by saying and I'll hold back what I want to say.
Yeah,
right. Threes will hold back what they want to say in order to make everyone else feel okay. So yeah, there's crossovers, right? We're human beings, we all feel, and we all want to avoid feeling what we don't want to feel.
Yeah.
It's just the journey's particularly deep with two, because it's such a deep, deeply feeling number. It's like the gift of the empathy and kind of almost psychic, right, comes through the feeling of the emotions with twos. Whereas for three, it's like the power of their expression, because they are such expressive people, right? Everything they do is an expression. Everything they, you know, everything they wear, everything they say is an expression of who they are. And it's like the more they're able to have those difficult conversations, the more able they are to create like amazing art, or like, you know, be the fullness of their expression. So it's, yeah, that three is that kind of number. Four is number of kind of, you know, systems, finer details, the building blocks of life. How do we assemble this? How do we break it down into the minutia and really work out the workings of it? And naturally it's the number of like work and working hard and keep just like soldiering on and taking the next step and the next step and the next step and the next step. It's the number of organization and getting things in order, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
it's also the number, like on the flip side, it can be the number of kind of restriction and limitation and setbacks. And two, like for example, people with a life path four will often have a story of like, oh, I'm too old, or like there's not enough, or there's a lot of limitation and restriction. And it really is about you're kind of boxed in inside of a worldview. And if you think about four, it's very much about four is the box, right? And it's about learning how to break out that box to see the, learning to see the perceived limitations as actually the opportunity to have a breakthrough, right? This is interesting. Last year, 2020, 2 + 2 = 4. Were we or were we not all very much boxed in last year?
Yes.
Okay, yes. Good. five is an amazing number. Five is the number of freedom. Okay. We're in a collective five this year, by the way.
Are we? Cool.
We are. Freedom. We are. Yeah, this year's about freedom. Amazing. Freedom's something that I'm very passionate about, and I'm actually running a new course on freedom. But we'll talk about that later. Freedom is about listening to your heart, right? And it's about ignoring the noise. It's ignoring the external things that people are saying and projecting at you, and listening to what your gut is, and what your heart is saying, following your heart, because your heart will always lead you to freedom, right? Now, the problem, the five, five is a very unpredictable energy. It's like spontaneous. It's like you walk out your door and someone pulls up and they've got a parcel for you. You open the parcel, it's got a key and a number, and it's like an adventure. Like you're off on an adventure and you don't know what's going to happen. Basically anything could happen. The only thing you can expect with the number five is the unexpected. You just don't know. It's very, very spontaneous. If you're having a 5 day, it's the sort of day where someone calls you out of the blue, you haven't spoken to you for 20 years. It's that kind of thing. It's like, if someone has an experience like that, I would guess they were in a 5 day, right? Because it's just, you just don't know what's going to happen. This year is going to be very, very unpredictable. It's going to be very, very unpredictable. We don't know what's going to happen. And five is that kind of vibration. The interesting thing, like for example, if someone with a life path five and they're learning about freedom, is they would have all these really jarring experiences of uncertainty and unpredictability in their reality. And then they start to become anxious because they start to build a belief that life isn't safe. And so then the programming, right, the reality comes in. It's like, this is how you stay safe inside this world. And it's like, get a job, get a career, get married, have children. It's like, and then, but the five wants to be free because it's learning about freedom, right? And then it gets really unhappy because they're not actually listening to their heart. They've been told how to make themselves feel safe and not anxious. And it doesn't work, because actually it's by listening to the heart and learning to trust life and learning to go on adventures. And like, they want to be out traveling the world. Like fives naturally, it's like Sagittarius, like the travelers, right? It's learning that by listening to your heart, when you take that step out the door, life will hold you and life will catch you. Yeah. So with five, it's like, it doesn't mean you can't have the things that you want, like a marriage and a house and all this, but it's about creating freedom around it. You know, freedom. Six. Okay. Yeah. Six is the number of balance. It is the number of family, home, pets, friendship. It's like matters of the heart. Matters of the heart. That's a way of looking at it. Six is the number of the mother. It's like really nurturing, caring. People with that six, like home will be, and family will be really, really important. It's quite tied up in two. It's quite a feminine number. And it's similar in the way that it's a lot to do with responsibility, and people with six will in their core chart will often have experiences where they took on too much responsibility too young. And again, where they create, it's quite a, people with six tend to get tied up inside of codependency quite readily, because there is a belief that the family is somehow more important than the self.
I can feel that one too, as well. I can feel that.
Yeah. You can see the
caring responsibilities for your parents or your loved ones. Feminine energy.
There's a definite. With six, there's a real need to create boundaries and to take responsibility for self, so that you give other people in your life back their responsibility, because the six will want to say yes to everyone, right? Want to help everyone, right? And there can be like that martyrdom, right? Of like, I'm doing everything and all I get is this. Like, and it's just like, well, like, just learn to say no. Six will be also do with those kind of matters, right? Seven is the mind. Okay, it's deeply, it's the thinker, right? It's answering every question with a question. It's like how, but why, and when, and trying to find the truth, trying to get to the real depth of wisdom, the real like it's all about truth, really. Seven will be naturally inquisitive researchers, wanting to understand the nature of reality. Sevens will often be attracted to metaphysics and stuff like that. Although, you know, people with a less spiritual inclination might be drawn to history and science, you know. But ultimately, it is a quest for knowledge and truth, and it's the number of the mind. It's the number of can be like on the sort of darker side. It's the secrecy and lies and scandal. My girlfriend's a seven. she just walked past. There's a very conceptual life. Is very conceptualized, whereas twos have a very feel. I'm a very feel, like a feel in the space. Sevens will be like, you know, conceptualizing what life is, whereas twos have a much more embodied feeling, understanding of what life is. Eight, like we've already said, we touched on eight: power, money, business. Eights tend to gravitate towards money. It's quite common for eights to make a lot of money and then lose it and then earn it back again, because I'm trying to understand the nature of money. There's quite often poverty inside of the experience of the eight, but there is the potential to make a huge amount of money.
That makes so much sense. You see all these like people who have so much money, they lose it, and then they build it because they know how to build a business again. They build it again, but they lose it again.
They're here to understand money, not you know. And that takes mastery, takes the various lessons that money has, right?
Yeah. That makes so much sense.
Yeah, I've got a lot of eight in my chart. Nine is the number of the humanitarian, right? Yeah. It is to do with there's a lot to do with nine. Nine's a very varied experience because nine contains all the other numbers. So nine is, if you add one and if you add one and eight, you get nine. If you add two and seven, you get nine. If you add three and six, you get nine. If you add four and five, you get nine. Mm. It's got all of the numbers inside of it. And therefore, it has all of the different experiences of those numbers all tied up inside nine. Nine's a big number. People who have life path nine, like that, it's a tough time, right? Because they've got so much varied experience, and it can be pretty hard. Nine is the number of the a healer, right? And it's a nine's job to keep going back into the past and getting complete. And a nine can't move forward in their life all the time. Things are not resolved or tied up in the past. A nine will just get stuck. Mm. And nines tend to be people who care about global issues. They're people who are on the world stage. They're people who care about climate change. They're people who are caring about issues on the global scale rather than just kind of like here and now.
What about 10?
You know, 10 is a one, but 10 is a leveled up one. So 10 is like 10 will be like new beginnings, but it's also at the next level.
Cool,
right? And then 11, right? You wanted to know 11. Okay, 11 is similar to two, right? It has all the same characteristics as a two, because 11 is 1 + 1, which is two.
You're talking about it being psychic, wasn't it? Like,
yeah,
it's the most psychic number.
11 is the most psychic number,
yeah.
11's because it's a master number, right? And it's like it's a high vibrational number, right? And it's a big life path number, and an 11 has the intuition and the empathy of two, and it has like that's even like it's like turned up a notch, you know. It's like there's a link right to source, right to the information. I've got a friend who's an 11. She is undoubtedly the most talented psychic or, you know, quantum reader I've ever experienced in my life. And the amazing potential, because 11 is also the number of illumination, right? And it's about it's these people have a gift like of shining, really shining their light to the world. And you know, bringing, illuminating the dark, really shining light onto the shadow. But with that comes, it comes quite, it's quite a hefty experience of a two, of an 11, because they've got the two stuff with the difficult upbringing, right? But it's, there's a real density because of the potential of the number, right? That the equal and opposite shadow is there, and it's quite often for 11s gets, there's a life path 11 to get stuck inside the density and the world of that emotion. It can be, and traits come out of an 11, you know, quite often they because of their potential, they recognize it as a child and their gifts, they don't often relate to other kids. 11s, they often tend to get on better with the adults. Yeah. And they have a really high expectation of themselves. People with 11 in their chart have, there's often a thing of I'm not good enough. I'm not enough is a big thing, because there's, because of the potency of that number and the expectation that they put on themselves. And they, you know, they're often like, as a child, they were comparing themselves to the adults, for example.
So do you think two is, can feel like that as well? Because I know in the past, I can never get on with people who are younger than me or my age. I always get on with people who are older than me.
12, 13, 22. Yeah, I mean, the thing is, Madhya, is that you could, in other schools of thought, you would be a 38, 11, 2. So you do have 11. There is 11 in there. Plus you've got 11 in your expression.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yes, basically, yes.
It's a bit of both.
Yeah. You've got, I mean, you've got, you could be seen in certain schools of thought as an 11 life path, right? Mm-hmm. You've also got an 11 expression and 22 heart's desire, which is pretty cool. I'll talk about 22 briefly. Yeah. Okay. 22 is... 22 is the number of the master builder, the master achiever, the master organizer. Right.
is this why I keep saying on number plates or clocks or something four twos? So
22. Like, maybe. I see that quite maybe. A lot. I mean, I always see numbers like that a lot, and I think it's like when you get onto a certain path and you've kind of, you're waking up to the nature of reality, that life starts giving you confirmation that you're on your path, right? On your high path, on your highest path. And yeah, so this is a really important number for you, right? It's in your heart's desire, which means like the heart's desire is like, it's like what the soul really craves. You know, it's like deep down, it's like, this is what's going to bring you the most fulfillment in your life. Two, we've already discovered, like the feminine number, right? And it's double that, right? But it's also four. So, and it's a master number, right? So, and four is about the building blocks, right? So as a 22, it's like, you've got this incredible ability to dream big. You've got big vision, big dreams, and like, you've also got the ability to build it, because you've got the four in there and it's a master number. So it's like the vision and the enthusiasm and the inspiration, and it's all there, right? And then it's like, oh, I've also got the ability to make it happen because I can build it. Mm-hmm. And the right people and places and things will come along, right? I think when I read into your chart, I think the biggest thing that you've got to overcome is the more you get into your body, it's like a journey, right? You open stuff up, there's new layers. And because you've got so many master numbers, it's a particularly dense experience emotionally. Yeah. Once you move through those difficult experiences, it's a lifelong journey, right? On the other side of that, something really, really amazing for you. The 22 number in itself, I mean, this doesn't mean to say you can't have incredible experiences and build the things you're here to build in the meantime, but for people with that 22 number, it can be a bit of a late bloomer for the big thing, because 22, especially for people with life path 22s, right? Life path 22s are here to influence not the local community. They're here to be on the global stage influencing millions of people. For example, I think Yeah, I think Margaret Thatcher, the Prime Minister of Women, she was a Life Path 22.
Was she?
Yeah, and they have the ability to really, really influence and have a massive impact in the world. And yeah, that is the promise of that number, right? It is like the master builder, the master achiever, the master organizer.
So you talked about the master numbers. You've been talking about it quite a lot. So what are the master numbers and why are they so
master, master numbers are just the double numbers. So 11, 22, 33, 44, 55, 66, 77, 88, 99. Why are they so powerful? They're an amped up version of the original number. It's like 11 is 2 1s. So it's like 11, one's like confidence, right? But then it's like there's a double dose of that particular number. And it's, you know, to come in with that particular number, there's like a contract made, I believe. You know, that's what numerologists believe before we come in, right? So it's like you have a contract with to come in to have this experience of this to play a large role in the unfolding of consciousness. Right, you know.
So, you know, now we've been in like masculine energies for thousands of years, right? Now moving into feminine energy, what can we expect moving forward from this energy?
Well, interesting, right? We finished 21 years ago, we finished being in the 1000s, right? One is the masculine number, 1999, okay? Was the ending of that one masculine paradigm, going into 2000s, two being the feminine, right? We last year were in 2020, 2-2. So we're really getting deeper and deeper into the, we've only just started that transition really into the sort of the deeper feminine numbers, right? And that's the journey that we're currently on in the collective. And there's the experiences we're having at the moment in life is the sort of like the last power grab of that old way of being, that old paradigm of the one and the masculine. It's about me. And we're moving into a more, you know, unity consciousness of us, we together, right? But it's because we've had such a long period of the suppression of the feminine, and that's not, you know, you could see that as a reflection of the way women were treated, right? But that's not what it's about. It's about each like the feminine in me being suppressed, me not, you know, pushing down my like on in the collective of us not being able to feel our feelings, women being suppressed, but women suppressing themselves, their own emotions and their own wants and desires. And it's the same in men not being able to feel because of the construct in which we've all been, that we've all been born into, and the you know, the conditionings that have been passed down as a result of this particular vibration. And we're moving deeper and deeper into a more feminine, yeah, just a more feminine vibration. Like we can see it, we can see the shift, we can see the external stuff happening, the mass awakening. We can see people learning to connect with their emotions in a big way. There's you know, it is, but like I said at the beginning, it isn't mainstream, and yet it is becoming more and more mainstream for people to be aware of their emotional states. We're moving out of a world in which doing is the way we get, and actually we're going to be moving into a paradigm now where it's all about receiving and magnetism and aligning to that, you know, the old ways of like set goals and take action and blah 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 blah, you know, that's old paradigm as I see it. Like the new way is actually tuning into life, right? Listening to life, seeing what's coming up, noticing it in yourself. What are you feeling? What do you need to move through? How do you align to the direction that life is always going? How do you choose life as it is and align to that? And then have intentional action, and then let go and surrender and allow life to provide. It's like forming a relationship with life in a different way. It's not about us.
Yeah.
There's a much bigger thing at play, and it's like we are. This is the direction that we're moving in. I think like that's why people like yourself, Maria, with the Life Path 2, you've got a big role to play here, because you are here at this particular time aligned to this particular vibration and like bringing forward this new way of being, right? It's like it's up to you to keep doing your work for yourself and then showing up in the world, right? Yeah, with that message.
Yeah, it makes so much sense, because like when people tell me, it's like, oh, you need to have goals, you need to plan this. I've never been one of those. I've never been good at planning things. Never been good at it. Every time I plan something, it never comes. It didn't come into fruition. The only time
it's going to line up for you, it will line up for you, right? You're going to find it, and it's through your healing journey. It's through you going into your emotions. The more you ground down, the more you get into your body, the more you feel your feelings, the more you go and continue on your healing journey, right? You are a healer, okay, and later on in your life, the fulfillment you're going to get is when you actually do build something. Seriously, like when you're being the person, like that's who you're meant to be being, when you're being that person who builds this thing that you're going to build, it will happen through you. You won't have to think, oh shit, how do I do this? Like, you will acquire the skills, the people will be there, everything will line up, and it will be magnetized, and then it will move through you. There's this huge amount of feminine energy in you.
Amazing.
You just have to keep allowing it.
Yes.
Keep allowing. It's all about the allowing, right? Which is feminine.
Absolutely. Totally agree. Now you are an official TEDx speaker, right? And in your talk, you were talking about most important relationship you have, and that is with yourself in your talk. Can you tell us why that's so important?
Because until we know ourselves, until we know what we want, until we know what we need, until we understand ourselves and the various different parts of ourselves, the different layers of ourselves, all these different versions of us that have grown up, like until we know ourselves, we can't know what we need. You know, there are various things that happen in our lives that trigger us, and then it's like, okay, there's a part of me that's being activated here from something that happened in the past, and it's like, okay, part of me being responsible for myself is that knowing myself well enough to know how to bring give that part of me what I need, to give that part of me what was missing or the love that they need, so that they don't have to act up and sabotage. Because, you know, the experiences that we have, we adopt certain behaviors or coping mechanisms that we perceive are going to bring harm to our experience or to make us feel better. And quite often, the way that we learn to react and respond and actually sabotage ourselves and create situations that are not what we want and are not aligned to our highest, and actually reinforce and back up our own negative self-beliefs, or back up the trauma that we had as a child and the feelings that we were feeling back then, and then we're destined to go on that kind of loop.
So Bradley, you know, we're coming to an end to this interview. I have so many other questions that I want to ask you about numerology, because there's so much to ask. Maybe we can get you on another time and we'll talk about the expression number, soul edge and everything. So before we leave, I want to ask you rapid fire questions. I ask this to everyone. So are you ready?
Let's go.
Okay, cool. What is your definition of God?
Everything that ever was and ever is and ever could be. It's like just the oneness, like everything that ever was and ever could be, ever that ever is now, like just at once, you know. It's all like everything.
Everything.
It's hard to describe, right? It is very hard to
describe. So what do you think happens when you die?
I believe that we go back to oneness, to source. You know, that's what I believe.
Okay. how do you define religion and spirituality?
Religion is a construct of humans who are trying to explain God and life through a structure that we've created. And spirituality is more like the belief, how I think of it is the belief that we are all spirits who've come to have a human experience.
What is the lesson that took you longest to learn?
The lesson that took me the longest to learn would be, I think probably still learning, being powerful with money.
I think that's a two thing. It definitely is a two thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, money is like money is as a result of it's not everyone's experience, but in my experience, it's like it's a result of like really of healed relationships. Like it's about money. Money is just love, right? It is, and
learning to love money.
It's a relationship. So we're two naturally. Because right. they're understanding your relationship, once they heal their relationships,
yeah,
money will come as a result of that. That's kind of how I see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you believe there is an end to healing?
No.
The world needs more of what?
Love.
Beautiful. Okay, before we go, I have one last question for you. What is that one message that you would like to say to someone who's going through adversity, going through a dark night of soul, hard times, spiritual awakening? What would you tell them?
I'd say that you're more powerful than you know. Whatever you're going through, it's for you, and that and you're not a victim. Like, just keep going, keep believing in yourself. Learn to feel your feelings, hold yourself. And take responsibility for what it is that's showing up. The more responsibility you're able to take for you and yourself, the more powerful you will be. Do everything with intention and have a really powerful vision for where you're going in the future and align to that.
Amazing. Beautiful. Thank you.
Perfect.
So one last question. What are you doing now and how can people contact you?
Okay. At the moment, I'm in South Africa. I'm recording some music out here. I've just recorded an EP back in England. I'm making music videos out here at the moment. I am on Facebook. You can check me out, Bradley Westcott. And I'm running a program called Speak From Your Heart, which is about freedom, and it's about, you know, it's about dropping in the moment and learning to express yourself in a way that lights you up and that really creates powerful shifts inside your experience. And you can check I'll be posting about that on Facebook. That's primarily where I hang out, so check me out there.
Amazing Cool. Thank you so much, Bradley, for coming on this podcast and sharing your amazing, incredible knowledge of numerology and all awesome wisdom that flew through you. Thank you so much.
Loved it. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to Soul Awakenings with Madhya Sosan podcast. I would love to know what your biggest takeaway from this conversation has been. Share your thoughts on my Facebook and Instagram, Madhya Sosan. You can also check out my website, madhyasosan.com. If you would like to watch this episode, then head over to my YouTube channel, Mads Corner, M-A-D-Z Corner. If you enjoyed this episode, then please do rate and share this with your family and friends. Thank you once again, and I will see you on the next episode.